Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Oh, this is so funny. I love this title. You know, sometimes you just get a kick out of a title, for better or worse. Isn't that a great title? And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper one of the 2% of people who... Leroy Jethro Gibbs would love, and I am happy to welcome Erin LaRosa to Joy on Paper. Hi, Erin.
Hi, thank you for that introduction. I love that you dropped a redhead statistic there. That is fabulous.
Oh, I have to. When I think of a redhead, I love Leroy Jethro Gibbs. So I know that you're his type, and then I went, well, you know, I looked at your website and I thought, oh boy, are you his type? yes.
I wrote a book on redheads. That was like,
I know, and it's very, very funny. It is hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
It is a wonderful book, and it is called The Big Redhead Book. And for everybody, this is a really funny book. Erin's a hoot. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now. Having lived in England, where redheads are called gingers, and when I first got there, and I did not know it was derogatory. I mean, I think it's such a great honor to have a redhead. I think it's just brilliant, as we say in England. You know, I moved to England, and one of the words that I learned to use a lot was brilliant. British always say.
Yes, I mean, I am a really big fan of, I'm an Anglophile. I'm a big fan of the Royals. I love Bridget Jones' Diary. It's like my favorite movie of all time. And so, you know, I am super tapped into the way that redheads are treated in the UK. And I think it's gotten better. You know, I think people like Harry and probably other, like, singers and stuff like that who are redheads, especially for the redhead men, like, have helped, like, Ed Sheeran have helped the persona of being a redhead. But I always say that redheads can say the word ginger, and then other people who are not redheads have to kind of walk a fine line.
Oh, yeah, you have to. It's, in England, you don't say that word. I mean, it's crazy. And, well, it's pure jealousy, if you ask me, because...
I agree.
I mean... All people have to do is look at your picture. They have to go to your website, take one look at you, and then, I mean, jealousy. I mean,
I am a very proud redhead now, but it took years to get to that place, because I think growing up, all redheads kind of experienced these cycles of not liking their hair and not liking the feeling of being different. And then you kind of come to embrace that.
Absolutely. Embrace it all the way. You know, I had Jamie Lee Curtis was on my program a few weeks ago. And, of course, she was on NCIS with Leroy Jethro Gibbs. And she was talking about how, you know, he's there's something so sexy about this guy. He's not that handsome or anything, but there's something. And part of his persona, I think, why he's so sexy is that redheads find him attractive, so that somehow makes him more attractive. It's a strange dynamic.
Yeah, we have a small but mighty community, and it is funny which celebrities we gravitate towards, who we think of as kind of like our muses or our queens and kings and all of that stuff.
Well, he is a great proponent of redheads. And I'm sure that if he read rom-coms and he read For Better or Worse, he would love it. It's a great book.
That's right. I'm so glad you like the title. I had a lot of fun coming up with that with my agent. And the whole book is kind of filled with puns, and had a lot of fun writing them. My husband is like really great at puns, so I had him read the book and kind of like make sure my puns were on point. But it is a fun kind of summer rom-com of a book.
Well, you have great vibes with your red hair. You have great vibes in this book. And so we can describe this book as Paul Hollywood meets and falls in love with Mary Berry?
That's right. Yeah. So I pitched this book as, you know, if you watch The Great British Bake Off, I said it's like if Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry were hot 30-somethings and they had to fake date in order to save their careers. So I got interested in it and kind of came up with the idea because I noticed that, you know, Mary had left the show and a lot of other women had left the show. And so I started kind of digging into that and learning about the culture of, on that show and kind of how Paul Hollywood, spoiler alert, is not that great of a guy in real life and has kind of alienated a lot of the women on the show. So I wanted to write a book inspired by that where actually my female character, Nina, is more of the kind of gruff, domineering chef. She's kind of like a Gordon Ramsay type. And the guy on the show is more of a Mary Berry kind of sweet. They call it a cinnamon roll hero, meaning that he is secretly sweet on the inside kind of guy.
Well, the book is funny. It is
great. Oh, I'm so glad you liked it.
It's great. I get such a kick out of it. Well, I love the Great British show. I love
me
it.
Too.
Me too.
I'm such a fan.
Oh, I've watched the repeats. As a matter of fact, during the pandemic, at one point where I absolutely could not look at one more thing, and even, you know, the series would have people with masks, and I couldn't look at it. At least I could, you know, look at all the repeats of that show. So, wow. You had fun with this book. Well, I think you seem to have a lot of fun because you're a funny person.
Yeah, well, you know, I really like romance books and the romance genre because it's fun, it's joyful. You know that you're going to get a happily ever after. And so, you know, I wrote this book primarily during the pandemic when I needed joy in my life. And that was also a genre that brought me a lot of joy during that time. And I just wanted this book to feel fun and energetic and like, you know, you were having a warm cup of tea with a piece of cake while reading it so that, you know, it would kind of take you out of some of the really hard things that everyone has been going through for the last couple of years. So, yeah, I wanted to have fun with this book. I ate a lot of food while reading it. So people always tell me they get hungry while they read it. So, you know, it's like a kind of a celebration of not just food, but like the LA food scene in particular, because it is so diverse here and has so many different culinary inspirations. But, I think your show, do you film in Clearwater, Florida?
I record in Clearwater, Florida. I wish I filmed.
Up in Clearwater. I don't know if you know that, but I actually grew up in Clearwater.
Ah, well.
My parents still live there. So I also appreciate the Florida. I think about the Florida food scene a lot. Like I miss the key lime pie almost every day.
Oh, yeah. No, we have the best here. Well, you know, whenever you're down here visiting Mama and Papa, how about coming to the studio here?
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, I'm going to be there in September at some point. I'm going to go to some local bookstores and do some book signings there. So I would love to do that.
Okay. Well, let's sync our calendars and maybe you could come here into the studio. And, oh, that would be such a thrill. I would love it. And my listeners would love it. Because
that would be great.
We have so much fun here. And, well, as you know, Clearwater is such a great place to be.
Yes, it's beautiful. I love visiting, and my mom will be so thrilled. She loves anything that feels exciting and glamorous, and I think going to a studio will feel that way for her.
Oh, well, she can come. Absolutely. She's invited. Yeah. She can come and tell us all about you. She can tell all the intimate stuff about you. So was she a good influence on you? Did she encourage you to write when you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, both of my parents are in medicine. So my dad, you know, had a local practice that was also my grandfather's practice in Clearwater for many years. And then my mom was an RN. So, you know, neither of them were writers. And so to me, she always encouraged me to write. I always had a diary. I was always making up stories. She would, you know, take me to theater classes so I could kind of like do storytelling that way as well. But, you know, I don't think the idea of being a writer even occurred to me until I was in high school. I went to Stillwater Central Catholic, for any locals out there. And I had a teacher who really wrote this one thing on my paper. It was like an essay I'd written. And she said, you know, you're a really good writer. You should think about doing that for the long term. And that was the first time anyone had ever said to me that writing could be a profession. And it opened my mind in a way that it had not been opened before. So, you know, I started then thinking about, oh, maybe I could be a writer. Maybe I can do this. And so, you know, my parents did not know anything about the writing profession. I had no contacts in that world or anything like that. I just kind of had to learn through practice. And I went to college at Emerson in Boston, which had a great writing program. So I made a lot of contacts there, and I did internships in the publishing world and just started to build that foundation. But yeah, you know, my mom has been endlessly supportive. And I kind of, in the book For Better or Worse, I have Nina's mom, who has passed away, but she talks about how supportive her mom was of her dream and how she encouraged her to cook. And I actually named the character, her mom's character, Sheila. That's my mom's name as well. Just because that was my mom for me. You know, she has always trusted me that I would figure things out and would do, you know, encourage me to follow my heart and what made me excited. So, yeah, for sure, my mom has been a huge influence on my confidence in feeling like I could try this and put myself out there, because writing a book is such a vulnerable process, as you know. It's like, you know, you just hope someone likes your stuff. You hope you find a readership, and it can be very lonely to write a book. So you really have to feel good about what you're writing.
Well, you've done a great job. And of course, the nice thing about it, you come also from the other side, where you understand the book promotion business. And this is for so many authors. It is so difficult. They really don't understand the process. So how have you approached all of this aspect of it?
Yeah, so marketing is such a huge part of getting your book to readers and making sure that your book stays relevant and all of that stuff. And I guess I knew that going in, because like you said, I have a big marketing background. I've worked at Netflix and BuzzFeed and Amazon Prime Video, all in marketing and social. And so for me, I think the other thing my mom taught me was kind of to be shameless when it comes to asking for what you need and what you want and just putting yourself out there. And so probably like the biggest advice that I would give to writers who are self-publishing or just starting the journey or going through a traditional publisher like I did is, you know, you have to treat your book like it is a product, and you have to ask people for favors. So, for example, a lot of the blurbs in my book that I got from authors who I absolutely adore, I got those by going into those authors' DMs and saying, like, hey, I have a new book coming out. I'm a huge fan of yours. Like, I would love to just send you a free copy just because I love your writing, and it would mean so much for me to know that you have my book. And so, you know, I just would put myself out there in ways like that. And I did the same thing with podcasts that I loved. You know, I would email them directly and just say, hey, I've got a new book coming out, and I think it would be a great fit for your podcast. Like, could we consider a talk? Can I send you a book? You know, I just kind of targeted people and places that I love and was shameless about it. You know, I had this mentality of like, the worst thing they can say is no, and that's not that bad. Or they don't respond, but at least I tried. And so that has worked very well for me. But I think a lot of authors assume that publishers will do that work for them. But I'm here to say that that is not usually the case.
Well, I love Sheila. She is Brilliant. Brilliant. And I am going to use her.
I'm
going to use this word. I had not thought of using this word about shameless. It is something I have been... I get so frustrated sometimes with authors. I will even, like, I will be out with them at an event, and they're going in the corner, and I keep telling them, get right. out there. You have to be the talker. You have to be, you know, you have to be your own billboard. And shameless, right. I love this. Your mom is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I love her. She's going to come in the studio. I don't care if you come in the studio. She can come in the studio anytime she wants. We're going to talk
about her. I feel like you're going to be like, Erin, you go out in the hall. I'm going to talk to your mom. She is just one of those people that draws you in and makes you feel very seen and heard. And so she's also from New York. She's a native New Yorker. So I think she just has a lot of what she would say is chutzpah in terms of, you know, putting yourself out there and not being afraid of what might happen.
Well, I'm an expert on chutzpah because my husband was Israeli. Okay. So I love people with chutzpah. I love Sheila. I love this word shameless. I'm going to be stealing it. I'm going to be using it. I'm going to be telling all of the authors I love their books, but they don't promote themselves. And so you are brilliant. Yeah. You have to come in the studio. I love you. I just love you. I think you're terrific. And your mom's coming, and we're going to...
It'll be a family affair.
A family affair. We're going to talk about For Better or Worse, a brilliant title, a wonderful book. Just, and I love how many times you used the word joy in this interview. I mean, that was really good.
I mean, that's funny. Yeah, I didn't even realize I was doing that. You must have inspired us.
I love it. I love it. I got, you know, I'm ticking it off. Oh, I love, whenever an author uses joy, I get really a tickle. And I want people to go to your website, one, because they can just look at your picture for a few minutes. Yeah, just look at her photograph and just imagine what Leroy Jethro Gibbs would do if he got sight of her. And
tell my husband to get a padded lock on our door.
That's it. It's a lovely website, very colorful, just appropriate for you. You have a wonderful, well, I don't know, you, how many, it's the blog. You have this blog about I quit my job.
That was all about how I left my high-paying job at Netflix to pursue writing books. How scary that was.
Yeah, duh. Yikes.
I know.
Well, you've done the right thing. I think
one of those moments where my mom was like, are you sure you want to do this? But was very supportive of it. And yeah, everyone, you know, I love talking about taking risks because I feel like I have done that quite a lot in my career. And so, you know, if anyone wants to talk to me more about that, they can find me on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. I'm at Erin LaRosa Lit. Yeah, I love talking to readers and writers and meeting up with them.
Who was that? What was that?
Oh my gosh, you heard the scream of my cat. I'm so sorry. I have a beautiful black cat named Chip, but she is so loud.
Well, that's...
It always wakes up when I'm doing an interview or something like that. It's like she can sense that I'm looking for quiet. I'm literally in my closet right now, and I had closed the door so she could follow me. Found a way.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific. I love it. I think you are terrific. I think your website's terrific. I think your book's terrific. And mostly, I think your mom's terrific. Erin LaRosa, I think you're wonderful. And I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And I'm so happy that you're from Clearwater and you're going to be here and you're going to come in the studio and tell my listeners more about the marketing side of it, because it is so important. But you've got a great, great future ahead of you. You're going to write so many books and you're going to have so many films made of your streaming videos made of your books. I know that you're on your way to big stuff. And I'm so happy that you had Joy on Paper today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It has been a joy. Thank you.
You're a sweetheart. Say hi to your mom for me. I'm going to meet her soon.
I will.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I love her. Isn't she adorable? Really, go to the website. It is so, she's so beautiful. My gosh, she's gorgeous. What, oh my. Sometimes life is just so fantastic. And here she is right here from Clearwater. So what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And I'm looking forward to meeting her mother. I'm going to meet her mother, definitely. And of course, I just want to thank Erin LaRosa so much because I just get a kick out of this book. And if you want another funny book, read her Redhead. It's called The Big Redhead Book. It is funny. You don't have to be a redhead, but you can really learn to appreciate it. And she's got such a quirky, funny sense of humor. And I just love the book. Bye-bye now. Oh, wow. What a book.